After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hello, AfterBuzzers. And welcome to another after show for the Real Housewives of Orange County, episode 15, Fire Signs.
Ooh, got a fire song.
I'm your host, Grant Rutter, ready for another full episode of Real Housewives of Orange County with a panel. My friend, AfterBuzz co-host, Fred Renee is here filling in.
So happy to be here.
Nice to have you. And Blake?
Yes, I'm holding it down. We've got two parts of the standard crew. That's right, the regular crew. I'm Blake V. How's everyone doing? And Alexis is just rocking out.
She's heck loving this.
In the booth back there. She got our music going for us. It's
Thank you.
Party up in here.
Alexis is having more fun in the booth than they did on the episode of the funnest party. It was supposed to be a party. And it quickly turned kind of sour, but
really any surprise?
No.
I mean, I feel like these ladies, the parties never really are that fun, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Before we get into this party, and there's a lot to say, let's talk about the dinner. That was at this beautiful restaurant.
You
what was
know
the
that
name
place,
of it?
Right?
Yes, they went and ate at Splashes.
Splashes.
Yes. Splashes is in the Surf and Sand Resort in Laguna Beach.
You know, Splashes could either be a very high-end place, or it could be like a cheap little, like, you know,
cheesy.
Taco
like
bar.
The dive bar down the street, Splashes.
I'm kind of like, I don't know. But, those ladies had a, of course,
it
being
is
on television.
Quite lovely.
Prime seat.
It looked nice.
Unbelievable. And did you see all the lovely wine they had? All the champs and everything
the
in the case. Just very nautical and beautiful. Anyway, it was nice to see Shannon get along so well with the other two ladies. After all this time, she's sitting there tipping back a glass of wine with Megan and Heather. It was good.
Yeah.
It was nice.
It was shocking, wasn't
shocking.
It?
Shocking.
Yeah. I feel like this is the first time we've seen, really, Megan and Shannon be this close.
Mm-hmm.
And not wanting to rip each other's hair out.
Yeah.
And you think of last year with Heather and Shannon. Like, these were her two people that she fought with. So I'm I guess anything can happen.
Oh, yeah, Heather especially,
was,
yeah.
Right? We saw it in the flesh tonight.
So immediately they get into this whole thing about the cancer storyline, which is like, it is what it is. At this point, I'm still really kind of like, it doesn't sit well with me if this is not real. But for the purpose of the show, we'll move forward with that. So Megan let the other ladies know that she called up Brooks's doctor and said, I have cancer.
Oh my God.
Straight up. And so she called the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, we don't do cancer here. It sounds like you're going to need to contact an oncologist. So pump the brakes. Immediately, it's like, So there's, we need to keep, a little tally of, questions about this, what's the word I'm thinking of? Where things don't add up, things are a little off. It's like, okay, well, there's mark number one. Well, okay, he doesn't do that. And, basically, she is already, we're already learning more that she's, pushing the envelope, trying to get to the bottom of this. Now, people at the table were a little surprised by this, and I thought it was a little crazy myself. What did you think?
Crazy town. I was like, is she for real? I think she has too much time on her hands.
Yeah.
And just too much time on her hands and nothing to do. And a little bit of a vendetta here. She just wants to prove that he doesn't have cancer. Okay. Let it go.
Yeah. Get at this job. Point. I mean, we already saw, like, last episode, I think, where we all kind of exhausted it. And I think here on the after show, we said, nobody wants you looking into this. Everybody has said, get away. Don't look into it. We're over it. She's not helping anybody at this point by, like, delving so deeply. And I completely agree with you. Total crazy town at this point. It's very interesting to learn that the doctor who's been treating Brooks does not treat cancer, apparently. But even crazier to know the lengths she went to find that out. Yay. Right?
And I'm, like, a big believer in not putting certain things into the universe. So I would never utter those words that she said when she called him.
I know. I didn't even want to say that on the show, but I'm saying it with quotes because I mean, come on. I don't even want to. I know. I thought about rewording it a different way, but I'm covering the show and, like, yeah, it's just not my thing. But, she's literally made it her job to get to the bottom of this. Like you said, no one's asking her to do this.
Right.
And it is a situation where she really needs something else to do. But it makes for interesting TV nonetheless. We also learned that Dr. Keneally, who Shannon recommended, went out of her way to connect the two. Of course, at City of Hope, fantastic hospital. They do great work. So this is a lymphoma doctor's traveled the world. And Brooks had the opportunity to meet with this doctor. What a fantastic opportunity. This person probably has a waiting list of people who are desperate to see him.
Months long, yeah. I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, Brooks couldn't make it because he had, quote, two flat tires.
Call Uber.
Yeah. And regardless, like, who gets two flat tires? When have you ever had two flat tires in
your life?
How does that even happen?
You literally just, like, you just drive over, like,
glass.
Like a construction site.
Exactly. Do not reverse when you've pulled out of a thing. Totally. Like, that just is, I mean.
No, makes no sense.
No. Like, that's not even coincidental. That's not even timing. That's just, like.
And even if he had four flat tires, you're on your way to see someone who could cure you. Leave your car and call Uber if you really
want to. Yeah, we really don't need the excuses.
It just makes no sense. So there goes another check in the...
tally board.
Right. Two flat tires. And now, you know, I went to school in Orange County. You grew up in Orange County. Pretty good roads down there, I'd say. Better than L.A., so...
Fairly good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fairly good. Especially. Not likely you'd get two flat tires.
Yeah, it's not like a common occurrence, even in the O.C., so, yeah, so I just, you know, I thought it was a nice kind of dinner overall that they were all getting along, and the seed of doubt is planted at the top of the episode right away.
Of course. Mm-hmm. As they like to do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Set these episodes up right. By the way, hi, Michael Horn. We've got Michael in on our chat room. How's it going?
Our trusty Michael Horn
is
here.
That's right, you know.
Let's transition to Sandy's date. Tamara's mother is going out with this man. And I won't speak ill of the elderly, but he definitely looked a little old.
Well, compared to her, she looked amazing.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, Tamara said she was 60-ish, and she looked amazing. And her outfit, Tamara was making such a deal about her outfit. Her outfit was adorable. She looked great in it.
Yeah, it was age-appropriate, I thought.
Completely.
Yeah. I mean, how awkward is a blind first date, and then you've got a camera crew, you've got someone on the floor typing, you've got a story producer, you've got someone holding a boom, and you're on a first date.
And then the family's there.
Yeah, with your child
and your grandson is there. So I don't know many people of a certain age that would be able to put up with that. They'd be like, this is bullshit. Like, they'd be like, this is not happening. Like, I'm going on my own. I give them credit that they just went, we're rolled with it.
Props to Marty.
Props to Marty.
Really?
Marty and Sandy.
Yeah, Marty was an interesting one. But she's getting back on the market. You know, everyone's got to have a first one, I guess, back on the town. You know,
how did they meet? Did they say how they met? I'm curious.
Matchmaker.
Tamara set him up with a matchmaker.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
No kissing on the first date.
No making out on the first date.
Sandy was disappointed. Oh,
yeah. And I didn't like something that Marty said, though.
Ooh.
I just want to throw this out
there.
That
was a red flag.
There was a big red flag.
Ooh, yeah.
I would have, like, boop, hightailed it right on out of there if I were Sandy. But just saying. She asked him if he had any children, and he said, oh, no children. I'm the kid.
Ooh,
nope. No.
Older.
Marty can change his own diapers.
Oh, my God. Older men really do look for someone to take care of them.
Yeah.
It's true. And he's no different. That's the deal breaker.
No, completely. Sandy seems like a mover and a shaker. Yeah. She doesn't need anyone slowing her down. She doesn't need to take care of anyone.
Exactly. I like that Tamara said she spends the day watching reality TV. I kind of had, like, I liked her to begin with. I was like, okay, I like her. She must DVR herself, too.
OC Housewives on repeat all day long.
She must love having her daughter on a reality show. That must be like...
We gotta get Sandy to call into AfterBuzz.
Yeah.
That would be amazing.
I'd love to get her perspective on a few things, including Ryan, her grandson. You know, Ryan has kind of had a tough life. Now, some people may not agree because, you know, he's got his mother footing the bill for this new place, and his mother's always been in his corner financially, and he's been given many opportunities. But, you know, we kind of all commented during the show that, you know, he hasn't had the most simple OC life.
No, to say the least. I mean, I feel like he has certainly acted out. He's had his moments. We've all been like, oh, Ryan, you know, over a lot of things he's done. But I feel like he really has had a tough time. I feel like he's had a tough upbringing. And you just think of his, you know, his home situation has, like, always been changing. He's always had different stepdads and different people in his life trying to tell him what to do. And I feel like that's really difficult. It's difficult enough when it's your own dad.
Exactly. Yeah. And that flashback of Simon handing him that paper, like, this isn't, you're going to grow up.
The agreement.
Like, yeah, it's like he's never really had, like, a loving, I don't know, you just see snippets, but still, it's like, he's had it pretty hard. People be riding him hard on him.
Right, financially and with agreements and, you know, I feel like he was a teenager when that happened, too. Not quite sure, but I'm sure, like, maybe 17-ish, maybe 18, and that was Simon's way of, like, hey, you're an adult now or whatever, but I know, just not very loving. Yeah. It seems like it's always been very, very cold with the kind of fatherly relationships.
Yeah. So, we got the feeling that this wedding is off. That's what was said, right? So Tamara said, like, you're going through a lot, like calling off the weddings. But only a few weeks ago, they were looking at Vicky's backyard. So I'm curious where things stand at this point in the taping of the series.
Yes. You know, it's really interesting when they hit us with news like this because, like, Tamara said it, but we were all like, what? Huh? It was called off. So we learned this information tonight for the first time. And that's so true. The last time we saw them together, everything was lovely. Vicky's backyard was lovely. Like, plans were on. And then tonight it's like, oh, okay, there's trouble in paradise. Mm-hmm.
And indeed there is.
We learned even more about what they're going through. And Ryan really not interested at all in this wedding. And Tamara immediately says, you know, go to a marriage counselor or go to church. I say... Look, if you're not even interested at this point, and, you know, the child is here, you've been engaged, like, don't do it. It's just not going to happen. If it's not, it's just not going to happen.
I completely agree.
Run.
If you're unsure, okay, you have a child together, you've gotten this far, just be a good dad, but don't create a terrible marriage. If you're unsure at this point, do not get married.
Completely, yeah. I mean... I think Tamara said it best. She said, when I hit rock bottom, the church helped me. But I don't think Ryan's at rock bottom. I think he's just in a scenario where he's not fully invested.
Right. And not to be judgmental, but this scenario, you met a girl on Instagram. You're going to have a child with her. She already has three daughters. You're going to move here. Mm-hmm. I think that's a recipe for unhappiness.
Completely. And poor Ryan was like, it's really hard dealing with four women's different personalities. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, no kidding it is.
Right?
Yeah. For any new people in your life's personalities would be hard to deal with. And here he is, you know, taking all this on and, ugh, no wonder.
Poor Katie must be so stressed.
I know. Mm-hmm. I can't even imagine.
But, you know, for people watching, if you meet a girl on Instagram who has three daughters, take it slow. Just take it slow. She might be a
That's
great
right.
girl.
Take it slow.
She
That's
might
all.
Be awesome.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I just, on the other side of the coin, though, I feel like, you know, he is an adult man. He does have a child. Like, he should really, you know, be providing for them, but just don't get married. But I think he, you know, needs to kind of not feel so bad and feel so like the relationship is over, because it probably is. So, you know, just do what you're going to do to salvage what you have and build that relationship before worrying about all that stuff. Like, don't even think about the wedding. And that's what we're all saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. We have a couple comments from Michael that I'd like to share. Okay, first of all, so he says that he has been supportive of Megan for the majority of the season, which I think we all kind of had. Yeah. She's had some good points along the way, but he definitely thinks that she's gone too far contacting Brooks's ex-girlfriend and the doctor and everybody else that she's contacted, which I think we all agree with. That is, like, way too far. Also, the Real Housewives Awards happened on Watch What Happened Live tonight, and Shannon won Best Newbie.
Really?
Right?
People really like her. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And let's see, what else did he say? And Tamara and Vicky won Realist Reconciliation. But we'll see. They had,
OC,
I know,
get some love.
It was a little rocky tonight on tonight's episode, so we'll have to see how that works out.
Yeah, might be nominated next year for the same damn thing.
Yeah.
The way this show keeps going with those two.
Right.
Yeah, I'll have to watch those awards. I had to take a break from Watch What Happens Live. It just got too repetitive for me, and I think Andy's been out to lunch a little too much, so... I'll have to catch
Andy,
up.
You got to tighten up your game.
Yeah.
Get Grant back on board.
Yeah, I don't know, you know. I still love the show, but I got to get back into it. I needed a break. I needed
Fair enough, to say the very least.
Well, let's transition to our cheers and jeers segment of the show, highlights and lowlights. Little things that we've seen along the way that really kind of struck a chord. I'll go first with my cheers. My cheers goes to the intimate party at Shannon Bedore's house. The decor was nice. It was simple yet elegant, and it seemed pretty intimate to me. I really liked it, and I would definitely like to have one of those Aries teenies.
Oh, yes. It looks delicious.
Anything is good out of a martini glass. And not anything, but it looks good, yes. And, you know, I'm going to transition to my jeers, and my jeers goes to Megan's kind of overall commentary about Haley's 200-person party. Didn't seem like she was that angry or really upset, but it seems like she wanted to come across as stern, but just the way she talked about it just didn't seem like a big deal. And I know that's not her daughter, and really there's only so much she can do, but it was just kind of like a fluff-up. I'm like, Haley, like, what are you doing? Like, it was just, you know, wasn't happy with that. No.
Boo for that, for sure.
Speaking of that, I was like, did that really happen? It seems like it was almost like a setup. Like, she's the struggling stepmom, so there was the story that she threw a wild party. Like, yeah. Oh, that's too real. Where are the pictures?
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. I mean, it could be fake.
That's
my
jeers. And then my cheers goes to Tamara's mother's zebra top. That she
it was lovely.
It was adorable.
It was very adorable. Okay, so my cheers is, I believe this was at Shannon's party. This was Heather's fabulous ear decor.
It was, yes.
She had, like, the most beautiful, like, I don't even know what. It was, like, ear jewels. And they were lovely, and I wanted some.
I wonder if they're, like, the ones on the top of your ear are clip-ons?
Yeah.
I mean, how can you have all that, like,
no,
pierced?
No, I imagine it was some sort of, like, cuff or something.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I loved it. I want to get one for me.
Stylish. I agree. Yes.
Cheers for Heather. And then, and then my jeers is just on Megan this episode. I just cannot even comprehend her going so far out of her way to reach out so far into Brooks's past. At this point, I've just got to ask, why? Why do we even care anymore? Like, even if he has cancer, even if it's the worst thing in the world, yes, it's terrible. But if he doesn't care, then why is it Megan's responsibility?
Completely.
I cannot understand it. Boo for that.
She has so much time in her hands. She should be researching cancer cures.
Right. I think
going to medical school.
Becoming an oncologist.
Fern, I think you had a good point. I think she just has way too much time on her hands to do any. Like, she needs to find something to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happens with a lot of people, I think, like, in life. I think that a lot of problems come up from people who just don't have enough going on.
No, I completely agree. And I
gotta
say,
I think that comes down to it.
Yeah. I completely agree. And I gotta say, there is a whole bunch of stuff I'd be digging into and researching if I didn't have to work my whole entire life. So,
yeah.
So it's best I do work. Let's just say that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk about this Aries party. I was really impressed with how it looked. I thought it looked nice.
Oh, yeah. And gorgeous.
It was well done.
Shannon has a gorgeous house. Beautiful pool.
Beautiful. Nice bathroom.
Yes, the marble.
Loved that
Grant
bathroom.
Grant loved the marble.
I love that bathroom. That's like my dream bathroom. So nice.
It's
so good.
Very fabulous.
So we got to this party, and the ex-girlfriend is brought up immediately, pretty much. Megan's pretty proud of the fact that She reached out to the ex. Like, she's, like, kind of bragging about Lizzie was like, oh, shit's going to hit the fan. Like, it's kind of funny to see, like, her get excited about it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we, you know, we kind of recently expressed our feelings about, you know, her reaching out to the girlfriend. And, you know, just to drill down deep, it was a blog that somebody else posted that this girlfriend allegedly posted on saying that he had faked cancer way in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And this was someone that was linked to Megan's friend that she went to school with in Mississippi. So how young was this girlfriend? If she's friends with someone that's 30 years old and they went to college together.
Maybe it's a small town in Mississippi and the woman's in her 50s and she's
friends with the doctor. I'm hoping for that scenario.
I'm wondering, though, like, is it? It's never that easy to get your hands on someone's personal phone number. Maybe an email. Maybe a Twitter handle.
Well, and an interesting aspect to this is that I think it was Megan who said it. Correct me if I'm wrong. But it was the, it was actually Brooks who specified this in their conversation where he said that this particular woman was really angry and posted all this because at the time he chose Vicky over her.
Mm.
So this could only have been a couple years ago.
Right.
Because they've only been together a couple years.
Yeah.
So if this happened a couple years ago, then that's really interesting because it wasn't like 20 years ago or something.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm. What did you think of Jim's initial reaction in the bathroom at their house? There wasn't much to react to, be honest.
It's kind of like you predicted. Like, he was like,
He was like, oh, okay.
Okay.
He's like, don't do it. Just don't do it again. And that goes in one ear and out the other. There's nothing you can tell her.
Right. I mean, I kind of liked his response because, you know, he didn't get upset or anything. I feel like maybe, like, the girlfriend or the wife in this situation, like, I would have gotten upset or concerned. Like if my boyfriend or husband was, like, rooting into this information, I would be like, are you insane?
Exactly.
What is wrong with you? Stop that. Like, whatever. And he was just like, okay, don't do it.
Yeah, cool.
Like, if we could end it at that, I like it.
Yeah, it's not going to stop her.
I just think he's so disinterested.
He just literally can't care.
Yeah. That's probably the root of it all.
Mm-hmm. So what else can we say here before we get into the thick of things? Well, let's just do it. Brooks called Megan over. They're going to have a couples conversation. They went inside, and it just kind of went off from there. Brooks was, like, on a mission, though, in this episode. He really was, like, it was almost like the Brooks episode, I felt, because he was the one that was really kind of initiating things. He went right up to her. He didn't waste any time. And, you know, he didn't really get angry with her the way we've seen Vicky get angry with her, which I thought was nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Vicky, though, in this episode, I'm telling you, I'm a huge Vicky fan, but her behavior the last few weeks, and even this one, is, like, borderline bitchy. You know, I know she's defending him, but she's very, you know.
I think she held it together. Like, we're so used to her screeching.
Yes.
That I was like, wow, she really behaved herself.
I totally thought so, too. I was like,
she's shady. I found her to be shady.
Yeah?
And I can understand why. You know, because Megan really is ridiculous to be doing what she's doing, but,
If she ever had an opportunity to screech and, like, really, like, strangle someone, it would be now.
At the party. I gotta say that I think she did kind of keep it contained, maybe because Brooks was there.
Yeah,
I'm not quite sure.
Maybe she was on her best behavior.
Yeah, but, I mean, really, because we saw her last behavior when she was with Brooks at the birthday dinner, she lost her mind.
Mm-hmm.
And she could have very well done the same, and she didn't this time.
Brooks was making really good points.
Yeah.
Like, what's your motivation?
Right.
And she really didn't have an answer.
Yeah.
I agree.
And, and one thing I don't get about Megan, when they were talking, you know, outside and at the party, she was kind of bragging about contacting the ex-girlfriend. What did the ex-girlfriend say? Obviously, she's still friendly with Brooks if she contacted Brooks and let him know. Obviously, she didn't say point blank, yes, he faked, you know, or she would have said that. So don't brag about it unless you got the answer you want.
Yeah. Truly.
But
truly, it makes no sense otherwise.
Yeah. She obviously must have said something like, you're crazy, and then went back to Brooks.
Brooks even referenced that he received the whole thread.
Yes.
So that meant that there had to be more than one message, you know, reciprocated.
Right.
There.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hmm. Someone at this party who did hold it together was Shannon, and I was surprised because there was a shot of her when Brooks and Vicky were walking in. She, like, had to, like, walk around the pool real quick. She'd do, like, a lap. She had to, like, walk it off. Like, she was, like, really anxious. I was ready for her, you know, this is her own house. She can do whatever the hell she wants. So I thought she was just going to, like, boil over.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, or someone was going to get tossed in the pool. I don't know, something. The part that killed me was as soon as Vicky walked in, because her and Vicky at this point are like best friends, right? Vicky walked in and she's like, oh, do I need a drink? Like, she couldn't even look at her.
No, she couldn't look at her.
I'm like, this is your best friend. She's what's going on? You got to know that Vicky was like, what's wrong with you?
Right. Why are you acting like that?
Why can't you look at me?
I liked that Heather couldn't, she had to disappear. Like, she literally couldn't even, like, be fake and be like, yeah, they were all talking about her and she had to disappear. So I kind of like that. But Heather brought up a good point that the doctor that Brooks was reporting to works with her husband, plastic surgeon Dr. Terry Dubrow, and that he cures cellulite. Like, that's what they talked about.
There's a cure for this.
But they're talking about cellulite cures, and this allegedly, this or supposedly, this is Brooks's doctor. So Heather is, like, not on board either. Like, and I, you know, I was surprised to see Heather take sides, but it seems like Heather's not buying what Brooks and Vicky are selling either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this episode, it really came to a head where everybody is now questioning it really kind of, you know, strongly. Even Shannon. Shannon's really been supporting Vicky and really, you know, supporting Brooks and everything in this and getting really mad at the other women for spreading, you know, whatever rumors she thinks they might have been spreading. But even in tonight's episode, she's like, I don't know, the truth will come out.
Yeah.
It's really coming to a head.
Now, Tamara is feeling like she's stuck in the middle with this and she doesn't really want to say anything against, you know, Brooks and all that. She's trying to stay out of it. Up to this point, before everyone was confronted, do you think Tamara's been doing a good job at trying to, you know, stay, you know, peacemaker or in the middle at least?
Well, she didn't add her own thing when they were talking kind of in that circle. You know, everyone had something to say. Heather had something to say about the doctor. Shannon's got the two flat tires. You know, they all have like something. And Tamara didn't really have like anything to offer. I think she was genuinely trying to stay out of it. It seemed like it.
I think she's doing a pretty good job.
I think so too. Even this whole season, she seems really like careful as to what it is exactly she's putting out there for people to understand. And I feel like she's really even been really diligent in making sure people know exactly what it is she's saying or following up on exactly what she heard. Like, she's being very particular with everything, which is nice because before it would just be like, you know, to anybody, anything to anybody. So I think she really is putting some care and some thoughts into her actions this season.
Mm-hmm. Well, while Tamara's being conscious of her actions and calm, cool, and to this party, then Megan's quick to rile her up and tell her, look, Brooke said that you need to consider the source of this information. So someone flipped the button and Tamara then decided that she went right for Brooks and had to confront him. And I don't blame her. If someone does that to me too, I'm like, look, you know what? I gotta deal with this right now.
Yeah.
You know? So she chased him around this pool. It was just kind of funny to see these women play cat and mouse all night around the pool with this dragon in the middle. But yes, anywho, she went right up to Brooks and was like, "Look, like, what do you mean by that? Consider the source." You could tell it was like a jump cut. Like it made it look like she just went right up to him and grabbed him by the shoulder and said, "Consider the source. What the F does that mean?"
Right.
But we were in it. We were good. And Vicky kind of just was like, you know, watching, but she didn't know what to do. Really, right?
You're making a fool of yourself.
So, you know, what do we think of this moment? I personally loved seeing Tamara be the old Tamara and just call him out.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, I do agree that when you've been supporting someone or been like positive and helpful to someone's cause, and then you find out they say something hurtful about you, I totally understand that immediate gut reaction of being like, really? Mm-hmm. You're going to say that about me? But I also have a really tough time understanding like this whole scenario of, you know, sort of the line between being honest and calling it out and saying something like it is versus like running to someone and being catty and like telling them something that maybe they don't need to know. Not necessarily this scenario, but I feel like this whole season we've dealt with it, especially from Tamara, where she's kind of trying to say like, I'm only going to report what I've heard and, you know, maybe some of the other ladies do too. But it's like half of it seems like it's just tattling or something, especially Megan too.
Oh,
that's classic Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yeah.
It's all
you know?
Like
she
that.
She just like runs to the person and is like, oh, well, so-and-so said this about you. And on one hand, it's like, okay, well, maybe they sort of did. Like, you're kind of just reporting the truth. But then on the other hand, like, do they really need to know? Like, is it going to make that big of a difference?
It was not necessary.
Yeah.
And I could kind of understand Tamara's point of view because she's probably thinking, you should have been in the circle of women who were just talking about you. And I said nothing.
Right.
And then it comes back to me that I'm getting and that's what she was, about.
That's what she was pissed. I don't blame her. Yeah. So I'm trying to follow the bouncing ball here. Okay, so at this Ducks game.
I had to map it out.
Okay, oh, please. Oh, you perfect. I'm trying to do this in my head.
So, Jim told Brooks about the marriage, you know, 2 months challenging. Brooks told Vicky. Vicky told Tamara. Tamara told Megan.
Fern totally has, like, a flow chart explaining who told who.
This is why I love this girl. She's so prepared. Like, I was trying to, like, do this in my head, and I don't even have to think. This is fantastic. Well, look at that. That's so complete. A mess.
Yeah.
That's a mess.
That's the flow chart. I'll put it on Twitter. So,
check it out.
I'm just glad that Shannon's not roped into that. I feel like she would be easily involved at some point. I'm glad that she steered clear of that marriage comment. At least you got away with that one.
Yeah, that's a mess. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine the amount of telephone that was played throughout that transfer. Like, what truly was the beginning information that developed into the ending information we hear now? You know, God knows.
So consider the source. That was the comment of the evening that really kind of made things go haywire.
Very haywire.
I liked it. I thought it was kind of classic OC with, like, you know, who said what and all that. And that's very interesting, that little flow chart there.
It's very complete.
So before we wrap things up, I want to say Megan is going on and on about this, of course. She has a very strong opinion, and even with the conversation she had with Brooks and Vicky and with her husband there. And then she basically just says straight out, well, he doesn't have cancer, and I'm going to do all the research that I can because I'm a researcher. And that was kind of the first time you mentioned that watching it.
Yeah, that is the first time she's outright said he doesn't have cancer. Yeah. Not even that I don't think or the psychic said or whatever. No, like, she straight up laid it out. She believes that Brooks does not have cancer.
Yep. She said it point blank and the period.
Point blank. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this psychic is so stuck in the middle. This guy, he must be, like, hiding his head in his hands.
Every day he probably dreads he even said such a thing.
I follow him on Twitter. He hasn't tweeted a thing. He hasn't tweeted a thing.
Well, like, he was kind of just doing his job. I mean, it's what he saw.
He just said it was wishy-washy. So it's like... And unfortunately, the words that he used can be interpreted in many different ways.
Clearly.
Yeah. He probably thought he was going on the show to, you know, get more customers and, and expand his presence. And then he's just...
Little did he know he was providing the storyline of the season.
I know. It all comes back to that one moment. And, like, even Brooks, I'll give it to him. He's like, your sources are a psychic and a blog. Like, I kind of, like, see where he's coming from. Yeah. Like, it does kind of really delegitimize Megan and all of her research and everything that she's trying to do. And, you know, Megan's just like a dog with a bone. I want to say that she's, like, trying to do it for the better of him, to better him. But I don't know at this point. I think it's more for her to prove a point.
Yeah, completely. Right. Well, that's the thing that she's been saying, is that it's for him and it's, you know, she cares about him so much. No, not when it's vindictive like this. If you care about somebody and they say, hey, quit nosing around in my business, you leave it alone. And that's because you care about them. So, yeah, at this point.
If she really cared, she would have said something off camera. Yeah. Once, and they would have been like, mind your own business, and it would have been forgotten. But she wants a storyline. She could say that she's doing it because she cares. She could say because she wants people to be proactive about their health. She has nothing to do. And it's interesting to catch this guy nobody really likes in a lie.
Yeah. Which really makes me wonder, though, like, what is the motive? Like, Brooks really was trying to ask her, what is your motivation? Yeah. Why are you doing this? And she kind of danced around it or explained whatever she explained. But I would really like to know, what is the reason that you're gunning so hard for Brooks? Because, you know, it's not like her and Vicky are particularly best friends or had been at any point, that she's trying to, like, protect her or, you know, like, the whole thing. I'm trying to figure out any sort of scenario.
What did Brooks ever do to her? You know what I mean? Right. Yeah. But her defense would be, I'm just trying to, you know, save a man who has cancer. I'm just trying to spread awareness. I have cancer in my family
her a good defense. He's like, she never thought it would lead to this. She thought it would, all her research would lead to something good.
Jim has actually done a very good job defending her, I must say, because he seems like the kind of guy who really doesn't want to have any part in it. And he said to her last episode, don't put me in this position ever again. But every time she gets herself into this scenario, he's very good at, like, diffusing the situation, and he'll explain to the other person, well, she thought this or that, but it really didn't mean to go, and it's all good. And, like, he tries to smooth it over. It's great.
Yeah, I like that dynamic, and I think she's great for the show. Like, you know, she's a little crazy, but I mean, I like her on the show a lot. I mean, she provides a lot. If not, it would be like just everybody literally gossiping about Vicky and Brooks. Right, she's actually calling it out to their face and doing research
late
at night.
Doing some research for whatever that's worth.
So, yeah, I know, right? For whatever it's worth.
Well, for whoever this is benefiting that she's doing all this research for.
Well, what's I understand, Blake, you've done a little research of your own with some news and gossip.
A tiny bit of news and gossip. TV news. Yes. So apparently, this woman named Jacqueline Dixon reached out in regards to Brooks and Vicky's sort of situation and the whole cancer scenario. She basically reached out and said that she completely agrees with their decision for Brooks to quit chemo, and she basically sort of lent kind of a caring opinion. And Vicky and Brooks then wanted to expose this information to everyone, saying like, yes, we do have people that are on our side. We do have people understanding this sort of scenario, because Brooks has always said that chemo hasn't worked for him. It hasn't worked for his family. So he's really trying to find these alternative methods. And here was an outsider saying like, yes, I agree with you. And they appreciated that. So that was kind of making the rounds today, that Vicky had tweeted that this woman, Jacqueline, was in support of her and in support of Brooks and what their health decisions were. Mm. Another tiny bit of gossip, which sort of, okay, we've talked about this, and it's something that we've wanted to know, but it sort of makes me sad to say. Nothing definitive, but this again is on another blog. This is coming from The Real Mr. Housewife. He has a blog of his own. Anyways, just a little detail about David and Shannon. We're learning a little bit more information that's coming out about David's mistress. Nothing has really been announced as to who she is or anything like that, but I guess there are sources that do know who she is, and she has apparently left all social media. Apparently she had a Facebook and an Instagram, I believe. And at this point in the season and in life and whatever, she has left all social media. So I think that slowly it's starting to come out who she is, and it's probably not pretty. And we may or may not have some more information coming up, but we'll certainly keep you posted. And that's what we got today.
Wow. I'm surprised she hasn't been uncovered
sooner. Right. This is like the cover-up of the century. Right. Like, everyone's trying to know. And
I'm glad that she's disappearing, because that could be a real media circus. She could be like a media whore and want to like capitalize on this. And I also am glad, because now Shannon doesn't have to face it.
Yeah. Right. No, I think that's great. You know? And that's the thing, is it's like, in our hearts, watching this show, reporting on all this, it's like we want to know. We want to know the scoop. But it's so sad. Right. Like, I don't... Like
someone's life.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all fine.
Right. Yeah. If they were getting a divorce, though, and they were both like mutually like okay with getting divorced, I'd be a little bit more interested to know things. So I was like, it'd be like, okay, it's all said and done. But they're still a family.
They're still together. Yeah.
I'm just surprised it hasn't come out sooner, because usually no one can keep their mouth shut.
Conceal an identity? Forget it. Like,
well, one would think if someone, sleeping with a married man and being a mistress, they'd be, hiding and ashamed, but not in this world anymore.
When you're sleeping with
Ben Affleck.
Yeah. Not so much the case. So maybe this girl has some, something.
Hopefully.
All right. Well, let's take a look forward and predict.
Predictions.
What's coming up?
And now, your AfterBuzz TV prediction.
Someone bit this whole pen.
Oh, no.
I've been touching it.
And it wasn't you?
No.
Oh, goodness.
Hell no. When I'm biting a public pen. Anyway, let's
I am really excited. We saw that in next week's episode, we're going to take a peek on a lunch between Heather and Lisa Rinna.
I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah.
I love her.
Yeah.
She's so good. I'm excited to see what that's about. Also, Heather, we got to see she's having some more issues with her home. Some more design decisions that are really troubling for her. I love all of that about the house. It's just
you love it, huh?
Well, it's just so grand and ridiculous. It's like, I love it because I can't relate on any level. So I'm like, oh, it's like this fabulous mansion and you have like a hair salon next to your closet that's the size of my house and all of these things. And so I'm just like so just enthralled with it. And her struggle that's coming up with the etched design of
the
steel tree and the window, you know, who knows? We'll see the details next week. But I'm just like, oh, the troubles you have, lady, in your life.
That's what Megan should be
fabulous.
Doing.
Yeah.
Megan should be etching trees. She's designing a house. She needs another hobby.
Yeah, she could use something to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for the one-on-one scene that Vicky and Tamara are going to have because I'm like a big believer in like when everything is all over the place and who's saying what. And if you're really a genuine friend of someone, you have to kind of sit down and cut through the crap and basically like deliver like a black and white kind of like, you know, here's what people are saying. Right. I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know what to do in this situation. I'm honestly putting everything on the table here, and that's kind of what we need, you know, what I want to do.
Yeah.
And so I think that's a good moment. I think it's a smart move for Tamara. And, Vicky is, says like, call Brooks if you have any questions at this point. I'm done. And that will be interesting. I wonder what prompts that. I wonder if, could Vicky be tired of keeping all of this ruse up, or is she just annoyed with people at this point? Why would she put that in Brooks's lap?
Yeah.
At this point. If she's like, I know she's done, maybe she just can't keep it up anymore. But, you know, she's been protecting him all along.
So fiercely.
Yeah.
So,
very interesting.
Yeah, well, all that and more coming up. We'll have to see next week. Ladies, where can we find you online to keep the conversation going?
Yes. I have been Blake V. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Blake V Media.
This is Fern Rone. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Fern Rone, R-O-N-A-Y, and have a book coming out later this year, the story of a single 29-year-old Manhattan lawyer who is guided in her dreams by her dead Italian grandparents.
Is that the title?
Talk. No, that's the
synopsis. It's amazing.
So find me and let's talk on social media.
Yay!
And you can find me on Twitter at Grants_Rants. You can also find me on my podcast, Grants Rants Hollywood Talk. There's a few familiar voices you'll hear from AfterBuzz and more. A lot of good talk on there. So check us out there and don't forget to check out AfterBuzz on all social media platforms. Our thanks to Alexis in the booth. Woo-hoo. That'll do it for The Real Housewives of Orange County.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.